And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau's cruise season will kick off next Monday when the Norwegian Bliss arrives in port. The COVID-19 pandemic disrupted tourism in Juneau for years. But as KTOO's Anna Canning reports, this season is slated to see cruise ship passengers return with a vengeance.
City tourism manager Alexander Pierce says Juneau will see visitors return at full force this year. They're expecting roughly 1.67 million people to arrive between April and October.
We're looking at 30% more visitor volume, which is a massive jump. We've never seen an increase like this before. So I don't think any of us who are close to the industry really know whether it's going to just be completely crazy and really overloaded or whether it'll be okay.
The cruise industry as a whole has moved towards larger ships and more packed schedules. That shift will bring more and more tourists to Southeast Alaska. Elizabeth Arnett works for the nonprofit Travel Juneau. She says a robust return of the cruise industry will be a relief for business owners. But bigger crowds could also mean new disturbances for residents.
It's so exciting to have a thriving tourism community again, but that's not necessarily the case with people who aren't involved in it and who are directly impacted.
The challenge for both city officials and tourism advocates will be finding a sustainable volume of tourists. But there's no certainty on where that number falls. And limiting the number of cruise visitors is hard for a community that relies heavily on the industry's economic benefits.
Where's the stopping point, and how do you even make a stopping point in the kind of economy that we live under? You know, if we start trying to put our foot down with the cruise industry, when do we step too hard and they just back away?
To get ahead on the ever-growing cruise industry, the City Assembly did pass a 5-ship daily limit earlier this winter, but that won't take effect until 2024. In the meantime, tour managers and downtown businesses will have to figure out new ways to manage crowds and entertain visitors.
We'll be tested this summer for sure, and we all pray that it comes out on the plus side, because if visitors stop having a good experience here, the ships will take notice.
And Pierce says that many of the most popular tourist attractions are already reaching capacity. Mendenhall Glacier, for instance, has struggled with overcrowding for years. Plans to upgrade visitor facilities at the glacier have been under development since 2019, but it will be several seasons before construction can actually begin. And some of the region's existing excursions don't have much more room for growth.
We're feeling like we're kind of busting at the seams on whale watching right now. It feels that way on helicopters. So the biggest thing we can do is shore excursion capacity.
The city hopes to use 2023 as a test run for larger visitor numbers to understand where crowds have become too much to handle and where opportunities for new tourist attractions exist. Pierce says the city hopes to conduct a borough-wide study on the subject.
To look at the community and where we're already seeing pain points, and also to kind of give our local businesses, our local tour operators a sense of, you know, where and how they can grow in a way that is vetted through a public process.
The money for that study would come from marine passenger fees, which are collected from cruise visitors. But funding is dependent on the approval of the city's 2024 budget, which is currently under review. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
The U.S. Forest Service is asking the public to get involved in creating a 10-year forest management plan for the Tongass National Forest in Southeast Alaska. The federal agency will be holding in-person workshops, virtual webinars, and community gatherings through June. The project is called the Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy, Forest Management. Paul Robbins is the spokesperson for the Forest Service. He talked with Coast Alaska's Angela Denning about the Public Engagement Office effort. He says the federal agency is working from the ground up.
In the past, the way the Forest Service worked, right, is we would come out with a 10-year plan, and it would be open to public comment, but it would be public comment on a 10-year plan that the Forest Service created. In this case, there is no plan. We're asking, instead of commenting on a plan we made, that the public help us make the plan. The overall goal is for us to work with our tribes, partners, and communities to put together the full range of forest management activities and complete them in a way that meets the greatest diversity of public needs. That would be the goal of SAS-FM, and we're excited to get it started, and we hope as many people as possible come out and talk to us and take part in this process.
What would you ideally like to see with this public engagement process?
Well, we have a couple of different things that we're trying to get out of it, right? So we want all the organizations that I mentioned to tell us what they want to see from forest management on the Tongass. What are the outcomes that they want to see for themselves and their communities and their organizations? And then we also have a separate ask in there of identifying specific projects and locations where we can work collaboratively to get things done. SAS, FM, Southeast Alaska, Sustainability Strategy Forest Management. That's a big term, right? That is all about integration, integrated work. Multiple resource activities done under one effort to reach ecological, economic, and cultural benefit. So we want them to talk about what the overall outcomes they want to see. We also want to know specifically where and what they want us to do as far as forest management. And we also are taking comments and input on our, what we call our assessment tool, which is a list of drafted criteria of what would move a project potentially to the top of our priority list for that 10-year plan.
Can you give me some examples of projects that might be included in this?
Well, under forest management, you're talking everything from thinning, which is, you know, harvesting of trees in a stand for the overall health of the ecosystem and the health of the trees that are supposed to be there, to watershed restoration, wildlife habitat enhancement, road building. There's so many factors that go into what we do for forest management on the Tongass because we're multiple use forest. On the second ask, we're actually asking for specific projects. What work do you want us to do and where? And how can we do it to where we're getting multiple resource activities done at once in the most beneficial way possible?
So you're taking public input in these kind of live public meetings, but also people can contribute just by themselves online?
Yeah, the public meetings, like the first 10 minutes or so is going to be us giving a presentation on what this effort is, because not everybody, you know, will see the press release or these stories or we're here. And so we definitely got to break it down. And then the majority of the meeting is just us answering questions and helping them work through this story map tool for submission. We're trying to keep it all focused in this very easy to use and effective tool to take in all this information.
Okay. How long do you think this process is going to last? Like, how far out are you scheduling?
Right now, we're looking to do this all the way through the end of June, and could go longer than that because I mentioned the tribal consultations, which are a legal requirement, and we're going to keep doing this until all of those are done. But we're hoping around June 30th is when we can be wrapping up most of this.
Paul Robbins is a spokesperson for the Forest Service. He spoke with Coast Alaska's Angela Denning. And two regional tribal organizations have sued the federal government over failed Western Alaska salmon runs. The Association of Village Council Presidents and the Tanana Chiefs Conference have named two federal agencies as development defendants in the case, the National Marine Fisheries Service and the Department of Commerce. The lawsuit was filed on their behalf by Earth Justice. AVCP and the Tanana Chiefs represent about 100 tribes who live along the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers, a landmass that stretches from southwest Alaska to the Canadian border. Jennifer Hooper, Natural Resources Director for AVCP, says back-to-back seasons of fishery collapses have affected every aspect of life for people in the region.
It's just been a compounding situation of huge food security concerns and lack of salmon, which of course is protein and food, but more so it's the culture and the traditions that people have experienced for thousands and thousands of years.
Salmon bycatch is at the heart of the complaint, which was filed in the U.S. District Court last Friday. Bycatch are fish that are thrown away as fishing boats pursue other species. In this case, the lawsuit targets factory trawlers in the Bering Sea that fish for pollock, a ground fish used for popular fish flaked fish products like fish sticks, a crab substitute. Brian Ridley, who's a chair of the Tanana Chiefs Conference, says the salmon crisis may soon reach a point of no return.
If immediate large-scale action doesn't take place by either the state or the feds, we might not even have a fishing resource left in our rivers. I mean, we're darn near the level where I think endangered species could start coming into play. And that's all we're trying to do is not get to that point.
The lawsuit claims federal fishery managers relied on outdated studies when it sets groundfish catch limits for the 2023 and 2024 seasons, and failed to consider what it calls, quote, monumental changes in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Island ecosystems that have taken over place over the last two decades. The fishing industry has argued that there is no conclusive evidence that bycatch has caused the decline of salmon. NOAA Fisheries, which oversees the National Marine Fisheries Management Service, says it cannot comment on litigation. And as for the weather, it's currently 37 degrees and raining a bit. And that's expected to continue the next 2 days. This is KTOO.